Oh, hagutn erev Shabbos, l'chol yedideinu ayikorim. I know that people will be very much focusing their thoughts and minds and thinking about the up-and-coming Be'ezah Hashem return to the shul, the reunion of the tzibur, our being able to get back to our very beloved Mokim Kodesh that we're waiting to be able to continue our avodah, to get back to the Yemei Kedem, to this level of doing, serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'avo, Beveis Mikdoshenu Hama'at. But I'd just like to mention just a thought that, as you are aware, we're not quite ready to get back. We need just a week or so of extra preparation for us to be able to recongregate together in shul, to be able to do our Seyda Avodas HaTfilas together the way we would like to. But these few days of preparation are not merely for health and safety purposes, in order to make sure, Be'ezah Hashem, things should be calm. It should be sensible, responsible for us to be able to come together again. But we also need days of achana, perhaps even more important, of preparing ourselves again for how we are going to elevate the Kedusha of our Beis HaMedrash, how are we going to enhance the Avoda of our Tefillah. And for that, it's not simply to have a very strong just feeling while we're trying to just make this decision to get back in soon, Be'ezah Hashem. It wasn't just a question of deciding we're getting back in and we're walking back in. But it was a question very much of having made a target and working towards it with a very focused kind of Yemei HaChona, of a mindset of what this means for us. But it's a great chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we can start talking about getting back. Things, Baruch Hashem, have improved a lot on the medical side and hopefully will continue to do so. But Be'ezah Hashem, also equally so, it's going to be the time of us to focus, a time of not merely reflection, but a time of chizuk, a time of reconnection, of getting together again, invigorated by wanting to do so, by wanting to be mechazik, our respect, our love in practical ways for the Beis HaMedrash, in ways that we will enhance its the Kedusha, our practice there. We'll be more connected in things in our Avoida. And that's the Yimei HaChizuk, which are ahead of us, in the perhaps, let's hope for the exciting times ahead of us to be able to get back to Shul Be'ezah Hashem happily and safely. Hopefully, in the next week, we'll have an opportunity to talk about it and to think about things that the Kehillah would like to do collectively together to improve ourselves and to improve that which we do, all of us, to be able to feel better even about our approach to Avodah and our approach to Kedushas HaMokim and our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a little bit of the sentiments which we feel at the moment, as we talk about, is not just a question of when we're coming back and not coming back and social distancing, however important it may be, but that's not what we should be preoccupied with at the moment. It's a shul, it's a mokim of avodah, it's a mokim of kedusha, it's a mokim of reverence, it's a mokim where we have a different quality of life, a different connection, different standards, and a different derech in the avodas Hashem of how we're going to take our siddur, focus on it, and do something more meaningful. Be'ezah Hashem. That's what we should be talking about, and that's certainly what we're all feeling. Be'ezah, just a few words about a very important message from the parasha, which we regularly speak about, probably in this week, but it's so important. Attitudes in life, attitudes to others, and control and direction of our speech. Shalach Lecha is very much a parasha about Lashon Hara. First, Rashi tells us the whole smichas ha-parashas between Meraglim and Miriam, Rishoyim halolu rov lo'ilokhu musa, to see and to get a message and not to take heed, is something which is very serious in our Torah. That's a big taina. So let's try and understand what was the musa, what was this avla of the Meraglim, and what are we supposed to learn from it? I will just mention by way of horror something which the Meforshim mention. In the Einish of the Meraglim, as we know, we'll just briefly get to the various points. The Meraglim, despite the visited Eretz Yisrael, they traveled around for 40 days to seek out the land. And as a result of this 40 days, which they came back with a Dibor Ro'ah, the Lashon Hara, with a very sad and bad report that they said about Eretz Yisrael. So there's a very serious consequences for the whole of the Dor of the Meraglim not to be able to come to Eretz Yisrael. They needed to stay for 40 years in the Midbar. The plan originally was for them to go straight into Eretz Yisrael, but there was a 40 years extended stay in the Midbar. And during those 40 years, Klal Yisrael died out. Ad toim pigreichem b'midbar, as the Pasuk says in the parasha, until everybody throughout the year, every year, annually, Tisha B'Av, the Dor of the Meraglim died through the Midbar. Only the younger generation, which was zeicher to get through, etc. But the 2 points just b'derech agav I'd like to mention about this very severe einish that Klal Yisrael had, that they died in the Midbar, ad toim, as the Pasuk says, uvenechem yiroim b'midbar boim shon uvenosu es nuseichem ad toim pigreichem b'midbar. Seems a very, very serious kind of an einish that throughout the Klal Yisrael were to die throughout the years of the Midbar, the 40 years. Lashon Hara, however serious it seems, it is not something which bears the death penalty, chalila. It's not chayiv misa. But yet this generation were by and large not zeicher to come to Eretz Yisrael. What was the reason for all those at least who sinned with the Meraglim? Why was it? So we have to bear in mind about this a very, very important yesod. It's not simply a question of an oynish, a question of punishment. But as we mentioned perhaps in the past, for a person to be zeicher to any madrega in Ruchnius, for a person to be zeicher to achieve a kirvas Elohim, to be zeicher to achieve kedusha, to be zeicher to a mitzvah shlema, to a vayra, to chochma shlema, for a person to be zeicher to any madriga in his steiging, in his avodas Hashem, there's one very, very important component that he needs to have. The prerequisite, the precondition for somebody to become great in avodah, in any mitzvah, is that he has to really value it. He has to really cherish this maila. He has to see it as something very special, and he has to really want it. For somebody to be a Talmud Chacham, it has to be something which Chochmas HaTorah, and being a Talmud Chacham, is very important to him. For somebody to do avodah Hashem properly, Avodas HaTfila, it's something which he really values, he really appreciates, something which he really wants. And that's the key to be able to achieve it. Eretz Yisrael is a mokum of great Kedusha. It's a mokum of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a mokum of Dveikus. But you can only be zeicher to Eretz Yisrael if you really value it, if you really appreciate it. The Dor of the Meraglim fell short of their appreciation of Eretz Yisrael, of how much they valued it. And as a result, they were not zeicher to go to Eretz Yisrael. Ato pigreichem b'midbor is not merely a punishment, the fact that they died because they said the Lashon Hara, but rather they forfeited the schus of coming into Eretz Yisrael because they didn't cherish it and value it as need be, as it deserved. And so too with every mitzvah. If we don't really value it, any avoda, every dveikus, every element of kedusha, if we don't really value it, we won't be able to achieve it. If it's something which we really want and appreciate, then we'll be zeicher to it. So the Dor HaMeraglim never got into Eretz Yisrael because they were mazalzel, they didn't value and appreciate the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael properly, as it deserves. But the Pasuk says, Yoim Lashona, just in a word, the 40 years was with a kavona of each day, corresponding to each day that Klal Yisrael traveled in Eretz Yisrael. There was a year in which they needed to extend their stay in the Midbar, Yoim Lashona. And the question asks itself, that the 40 days that Klal Yisrael visited Eretz Yisrael, they went through the land, they traveled through the land, was not an Avera. Yeshua and Kalev also went for 40 days. There was an instruction to go for 40 days. The problem was their report. The problem was the Diborah. The problem was what they said at the end, but not the fact that they went to visit to Eretz Yisrael and the journey through Eretz Yisrael. The Halicha in Eretz Yisrael wasn't the problem. So why is the Yom Lashana, why is each day bearing this very severe Einish? And the answer about this is a simple but very important, powerful Yisoid. The problem of Lashon Hara is not a problem of mere just objective speech about an analysis that people say about other people or other institutions or whatever they talk about. But the problem is an attitude problem. The problem is where you look at what you look at and with what kind of negative approach you see what you're looking at, and that's what makes you say what you do. And I'd like to bring that out from two very important and powerful places in this week's parasha. Amazing, just in its simplicity, but it's in the powerfulness of this the power of this message. The Pasuk tells us that the Meraglim brought back from Eretz Yisrael peiros, which are amazing in the what they look like, the quality of these peiros, the size of these peiros, the nourishment value of these peiros, what you could get out of one grape was something truly absurd, something which we can't imagine. So they brought a sample and brought it back to the Klal Yisrael to show them Zeh Piriyot. Now, what was their intention? What were they trying to show when they brought back these huge peiros, which they needed so many people to carry? So if we would have looked at this, we would have seen it for what it was. We would have seen the truth of and the reality of the bracha of the shefa of Eretz Yisrael to have such peiros of such quality as an Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash in an amazing kind of a measure. Peiros with such bracha, which we couldn't fathom. But that wasn't what they were trying to say. Rashi tells us what was the message of this. Lohoitzi dibo nischavnu, kishem shepereo mashuna, kach amo mashuna. They were trying to show that if you see these peiros, just look at this amazing you back there, very big peiros. You see something strange about the peiros, you can imagine what the people are like. The people over there are giants, are very powerful. Now I ask you, rabbis, just to think about this simple Rashi and Pasuk. How many of us, when we see big, these quality peiros, such large, amazing fruit, were to think about what this must mean negatively about the inhabitants of the land? You know, I think to myself, every child across Klal Yisrael, they go to kindergarten, for those who've done it, and I don't know how many of it, how much is relevant for people this year, although they may have got some worksheets. Everyone comes back, the classic picture of Parshas Meraglim is seeing people carrying fruits. That's what the kindergarten diagram and design is all about. How many, certainly of the children, or of any of us, when we see such a picture, you think, whoa, you see such fruit. The inhabitants, the people where these fruits grow must be very tough. Nobody thinks of that. It's not a normal train of thought. But if they thought that way, it would reflect on the negative attitude of what they were looking to find in what they've seen. And what they've seen may have been real brocha, but if you look negatively, you can find something, a diborah, to relate to whatever you see. Similarly, I'd like to talk about something else that they said. They came back with a report, Eretz Echeles Yoshveha. The inhabitants are dying, consumes its inhabitants. So Rashi, B'chol Mokim Shovarnu Motzonu, we found people burying the dead. V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Asa L'Toiva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it for their benefit. G'day L'Tarudom Be'evlon, this is the Rashi, V'lo Yitnu Lev Le'elu. In order that the people of the land of Canaan should be torud, should be busy, preoccupied with their avelus, with their bereavement, and they shouldn't notice the group of spies coming through the land. Otherwise, let's think about this again. They could have come back seeing the truth that was such hashgacha protis, we could go through Eretz Yisrael as a group of 10 people in hostile territory, totally unnoticed. No passport control issues, nobody challenged us throughout the land. In other cases, later in the time of Yeshua, he sent 2 spies and they could hardly get past the wall and they were immediately sent back. But 10 people, hostile territory, walk around and nobody should say anything. There's Ashkocha Protis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's on our side. And that's what they could have come back to see. They brought back a report negatively. People are burying their dead. If they would have cared to notice, they would have realized that if your spy is there, you take a little bit of notice of what's going on. You investigate the story. If they would have investigated this, they would have seen, why are people burying their dead the whole time? Let's listen what's going on. And they would have heard people saying to each other, you know, it's amazing. Since last Tuesday, whenever the date that the Meraglim came along, all of a sudden there's a pandemic going on over here. Something's changed. All of a sudden something's happened to all of us. People are dying. And they would have asked, from when? When did this happen? And they would have realized it was all for their toiva. It's not something that regularly happened over then in Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Canaan at the time that it was. If they would have cared to notice and take a little bit of information, they would have realized it coincided with their visit. It wasn't something previous at all. It wasn't an issue of a problem. It was something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up to protect them. So you can see again, you can see something of great bracha. But if you're looking for something negative, then you can find in what seems be'emes l'teivaschem, and what is l'teivaschem, to find something to complain about. This is, Rabbi said, just in brief, there's much in this parasha which we can develop on this theme. But the idea about this is very important to understand what we can see from this Meraglim. Why it was, there's a lot of discussion in the Mefarshim, what brought about, why they were looking for something negative, what was the hesitation to go into Eretz Yisrael? But because they had some kind of an interest, what they found on their visit was something negative, rather than something which they could have seen as being very positive. The answer to the question of Yom Lashono, there was nothing, the question was, the visit, the trip, was something that they were instructed to do. There's nothing wrong with the trip, the 40 days. So the owner should not have corresponded to the days of the trip, but rather perhaps to the words or that they said at the end. But the Teretz is clearly Nishtazoi. It was the way, it was their approach, it was the attitude with which they made this trip, which was wrong of them. It was the attitude of their approach. That was the real fault. And that's why they came out with what they came out with, such that every day of their visit was something which was inherently wrong. That was why it was Yom Lashon. Well, so I'd like just to be amazed of the following. There's a very interesting vort of the Ari HaKadosh and Menachem Zemba about the mitzvah of Bikurim. The mitzvah of Bikurim in Ari HaKadosh states that you bring from the Peiris HaOretz and show you HaKaras HaToiv to be mesak in the chait of the Meraglim. As they state in Ari HaKadosh. And Menachem Zemba said the following very interesting observation. He said the Mishnah in Bikurim says, quote, three, an example, although Bikurim were brought for all Shiva Saminim, the Mishnah in Bikurim says that if the way that the Bikurim is to be done, stated the Mishnah, Yerid Adam L'Seich Sadehu, a person goes to his field, V'roya Te'ena Shebikra, a Te'ena, a fig, Eshkel Shebiker, or Rimoin Shebiker, Eshkel is the cluster of grapes, or a Rimoin, or a pomegranate. Those are the three that the Mishnah mentions, which is the three, just by coincidence, should we say, that the Meraglim, the three types of fruits which a Merabrim bought. And the Menachem Zemba said, as the result of the Ari HaKadosh said that the Meraglim was to be mesaken the chait, the Bikurim was be mesaken the chait of the Meraglim. Menachem Zemba said, we understand well why the Mishnah chooses the example of the three fruit which the Meraglim brought. So that's a very interesting why the Mishnah mentions the example of these three in Bikurim. But to me, the message of that is the following. Why is Bikurim? What does Ari HaKadosh mean that Bikurim is Mesakin the Meraglim? And the Teretz is simple. Bikurim is an avoid of HaKaras HaToiv. Seeing Chesed, seeing and acknowledging and internalizing and absorbing what Chesed means and reflecting one's behavior accordingly. The problem, the Chet of Lashon Hara, is seeing negativity, seeing what isn't good. Whether it's in others or whether it's seeing negativity about one's circumstances. And that's what brings a person to complain, to grumble, and to speak badly about others. The tikkun is this avoda of bikurim, appreciating tovas, seeing chesed, and see how much good we have in our lives. And in that way, we'll see good about us, and we'll see even good in others. It's an attitude issue. Lashon Hara is very much an avoda. The tikkun of Lashon Hara is avoda, to see tovas, to see malas chaverinu, and to see betuv in everything that our life situation. That's where the Meraglim fell short, and as we see so starkly from Vezeh Pirio, to see negativity in something good. It's important for us to know, when people speak badly about others, it's not a reflection of what they are seeing. It doesn't show anything about what they're speaking about, but it's a reflection of themselves. It's a reflection of something which is really faulty within their own attitudes, within their own approach, their ayin ra, there's something really wrong with their own attitudes to others, their approach, that they're looking for to grumble, and they're showing something which is bad, in essence, about themselves, and not a reflection of what they're speaking about bichlal. And that's what we need to be mesaken. The tikkun lashon hara is something, speaking about others, is an avoda which bears with us every time, every day of our lives, ourselves, our family. We're always talking about other people, talking about the institutions, talking about situation around us. And what we need to be mechazik ourselves as a limud from this parasha is to see tovus, the avodas of bikurim, to see chesed in our lives that Kodesh Baruch has given us, as our tkufa, however difficult it may have been, has been a tkufa with which we've been accompanied with tremendous chesed. We have to get our appreciate, we have to see good in others, and we have to, the way we speak and our attitudes to others has to reflect Be'emes positivity, has to reflect that which we're looking only for good. And in that we'll be able to be mesaken ourselves and mesaken the dibur. And just to finish off, the famous words of the Gaon, that b'chol rega rega sh'odom b'olim es piv, whenever a person restrains himself, don't speak negatively about meisters, about people, about anything that's going on around us, businesses, nishka nafka min, what it is. We don't speak about others b'chlal in negative light, because it just reflects our own, as I say, our own attitudes, our own ayin ra. It's an avoda, bad of us to work on ayin tova, something which is very important, but we have to appreciate tovas. It's the bikurim, which is the avoda keneged, the tikkun of the meraglim. And the Eibushes al helfen taka b'chol rega rega. I just want to mention the Gaon says that for every moment that a person controls himself, he sees a light with which no malach can ever, a light of kedusha, a light of gilui, a light of something which is so elevating and such alt eternal pleasure, eternal tainuk, that nobody can ever imagine. And perhaps I just think, perhaps it's a little far-fetched of a remez, oir is light, oir is seeing something which is so delightful, which is so mechazik. Because the tikkun of not speaking negatively is to see things, is ayin tova, to see things positively. We're zeicher to have to work on an ayin tova, to see chesed in Ribbono Shel Olam, what Ribbono Shel Olam does for us, to see tovas, milas in others, to appreciate that which everybody does for others and does for each other. Then you see oir, then you see oir agonos, you see something lichtig, which is the ultimate kind of pleasure and tainug and scha that a person can have. So we're zeicher Hashem to get the message of the parasha, to be mesaken, to see, to talk positively, whether it's the meisters, which are into particular difficult times, b'chlal talking about others and seeing tovas in everybody, but seeing tovas in our lives and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's conduct to us, we should see with such positivity. When we get back to Avodas HaTfila, we'll do it with appreciating tovas, with appreciating chasodim. That's what the Avodas HaTfila is all about, and that's the tikkun generally of so much of what we talk and how we talk and our approach to our Avodah. The Rebbe Hashem should help us, Be'ez Hashem. Again, I'm just Messiah and Apsicha, that we should be able to look forward soon to get back to our Beis HaMikdash, our Beis HaMedrash, our Mokim of Avoda, to do it in a very, very, to look forward to this with happiness, Beis Hashem, with Chizuk, and with hope, and Be'ikah, Taka, for looking forward to something very, very special, very elevated in the way we're going to be able to continue our Avodas Hashem and to work together with each other. Kol Tov, good Shabbos. And Aziza Gemensh Tachoydish.